American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy, reporting you from the internet for Monday, February the 8th, 2010. We've already left 1 month behind, but that's okay because you're listening to Newsreel, a WOG Global Sit Rep on core political tyranny, technology, trends, and transhumanist timing for your headspace. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all of these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, dot live journal, dot com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night, let's not forget that we are in Second Life Node Archers, grid 155-74666. And tonight we have with us Sporadic E, which is good to see, Spider Mike, Sylvia, Smurf, Sajin, Randall, Q, Plump Dragon, which isn't really that plump, is only just kind of Rubenesque, Phantasmagria, Morps, Max, the Toking Cat, Mazelet, Legion, Kimmy, Griffin, Echelon, Droopy, DJ Dally, Devin, Dawn, Darklake, Kothak, Bryce, Bashrand, Bald Traveler Chan, who built this place, Panthropy, AOI, Anastasia, and Agent Dak is all here, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian.
Hello, Sean. How are you this week?
I'm good. Did you know, Sam?
Good.
That we're actually broadcast simul. It's like a simulcast. It's like a simultaneous attack, only it's a broadcast, which means we both get to receive each other and we take full damage with no chance to parry or dodge. And that's at frequency 6673.3 kilohertz. So if you're out there in the world, you know, trying to, like, go through your life and, you know, have some problems, hey, not to worry. So you've had a good week. We were talking a little bit before the show. I was over last week and we were talking about coming over and watching a movie. And I had the unfortunate, grace to show up at your house, and you showed me the most wonderful, wonderful version of Inglourious Basterds, which you have on Blu-ray. We watched it on your amazing Interstellar TV, of which there's only six in existence. The other two are owned by various heads of software giants, and Sim has one. And we watched, which was really, really amazing. It was like having a perfect 3D rendering of a big ball of shit. You know, I was like, wow, you have all this technology. Why didn't we use this for something better? But no. But apparently, I'm way out on my own with this one, because apparently Inglourious Basterds is up for awards, which, you know, I'm guessing for costumes. I have no idea. They were well dressed. You know, no, the costumes were great. The costumes were really good. And somebody told me
no, it's not up for costumes.
It's not. What's it up for? Is it up for Best Picture? Is it up for makeup?
Best Picture, Best Original Screenplay, Best Actor for the main antagonist.
He was pretty good.
Can't remember the rest.
The writer screwed him, though. I mean, really.
Editing, I think.
The writer screwed him. Yeah, you know, I didn't get that he was gay, the main bad guy. I didn't get that. Like, that wasn't explained to me during the film. Apparently, the main bad
guy.
Was he?
Yeah. I don't know.
No. No, that's like a big deal.
It wasn't really crucial to the plot. I don't know.
No, apparently it was. Apparently it was. Because that's why, you know, he gets all bent out of shape near the end there when his buddy gets shot, right? And that's the whole thing. So that was a big part of it, you know. And I was at work and I was talking with somebody, and he's another movie guy. So he swings by and we're yakking. And he was explaining how that was the case. And I was like, really? I mean, I just watched that. I totally didn't pick that up. I guess it was a subtle inference in the film. But, you know, it was...
I'll keep that in mind next time I watch it.
Yeah, so, you know, but it wasn't my favorite movie in the world. But that's okay. You know, it had some kind of good parts. You know, it was, you know, had some nice knives in it.
We'll rent RoboCop 2 next time for you.
Well, RoboCop...
Or 3.
RoboCop 3 never got made. They never made that film.
Oh, okay.
They never made the Highlander series. And they never made a TV series based on RoboCop either, because it was in RoboCop 3 that they gave him a jetpack, where I was really upset.
What's wrong with that? Everett, you'd like a jetpack.
I would like a jetpack.
That's good.
But you can't break the rules, okay? You can't have... It's
robots
like...
Robots can't fly.
Well, no. You just have to have it be done the right way. For example, you either shoot people or you beat them up. Right, you can't do both. So you have
true.
To have some limitations on your robot. He's not Superman, he's RoboCop, right? So if he's fast, you know, he has to have some kind of weakness. So he's like kind of like a tank. Like when you watch RoboCop, he's kind of like, you know, this tank type, you know, Terminator-esque. Like if you had like the old Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator versus RoboCop, okay, that's a good movie. Right, you know what I mean? Like I could see that.
Yeah,
and that would be enjoyable because they're similarly matched, you know. But you're not going to have like RoboCop, say versus, oh, I don't know, the giant walking mecha from Avatar. That wouldn't just be a good film, you know. It's not really fair, you know. You don't know who you want to vote for. So that's pretty much it. But before we go tirading off onto Avatar, let's get into some of this unbiased feedback, which I have here. Dear Sean,
What were you saying? That's a new label. The unbiased feedback.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's good. I got it all.
Is that an implication
format.
That we're biased and, well, and our crowd is
no,
is,
no.
You know, level-headed people? No.
Okay. Well, yeah, our fans are the smartest people in the world because
that's
they,
true. That is true.
You know, and people who agree with me are smart. People who don't agree with me are dumb. That's right.
They have something wrong with them.
Well, they're nothing.
They just haven't seen the light.
Well,
you know,
they're not
they
really
educated.
Dumb. They just haven't suffered enough to come around to my way of thinking yet. And I would spare them that suffering.
I see.
You know, I would. I would. I mean, there's no hope for you. You know, I think you know, everybody knows you secretly agree with me. You know, secretly, way deep down. But it wouldn't be a good show if you just agreed with me all the time, right? So you gotta
just nodded and laughed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's so you know, you have to kind of, you know, pretend like you disagree with me, but in reality, you know, we all know that you agree with me. You know, that's my take anyway. That's what I choose to believe. You know, because you don't want to think bad things about your friends.
Well, reality is what you make it, Sean. And there you
that's
go.
Right. But hey, no.
If you
wait
believe
for
that,
it. Wait for it. I've got news stories that back that up. Okay, like yeah.
Okay.
So let's. The first piece of unbiased feedback starts out. Dear Sean, hell yeah, nuke the blue giants from space. I saw Avatar. I was cheering for the humans. Watching these primitive fighting mechs with hydraulics and wind, was almost as absurd as watching the little furry Ewoks taking out battle-hardened stormtroopers that have lasers, AT-STs, and speeder bikes. Don't the Marines hang traitors in the real world? Crippled or not, that kid would do some twisting in the wind. Kill the Avatars, humans for the win. And then he signed it off, Peace and Wog Grease, Grundle Boy, which I thought was really funny. And he's like, burn them in their homes, peace, you know, which, you know, it's a little bit. So that was another piece of email here. Dear Sean, about Avatar, I'm totally in your camp. Sean, I was cheering for the humans as well. And I liked the movie a lot better when it was called Fern Gully and not in space. And another one here. Dear Sean, this was not about Avatar, of course, it's him.
Oh, okay.
Nobody agrees with you, Sim. No one. No one agreed with you at all. It was all supporting me. So clearly I'm right, right? That's the only difference between right and wrong.
Human supremacy all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Down with the blues.
Yeah, you know, kill them. You tall guy, get in the box.
You know, use the chemical warfare on them and, you know, problem solve rather than wasting bullets on them.
It's all about
that's
Defoliant.
Just inefficient.
And can
really?
We eat those things? Like, they're aliens, right? I mean, they're made of meat. We can eat those.
Sure, they're not humans, so, I mean, humans have no problems eating any species except their own. And, you know, sometimes their own.
Oh, well,
so,
they can't live long.
Why not? Roast them over a spit. I'm not sure why they didn't.
Monkeys
can talk, and they humans eat monkeys.
What? Do we eat monkeys? Is there monkey eating? I'm sure they eat. I don't think there's a number of countries. Do we eat great apes? You know?
Why not?
Well, we could. I just don't know. Lots of meat on them. Well, I know that there's like the whole monkey brains thing, right? Everybody knows that there's a, you know, the famous monkey brain stew thing and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just wondering, those are generally small monkeys, right? So I'm wondering if they eat great apes. I don't think there's any cultures that actually eat great apes. I'm sure if you left a great ape alone in China for any length of time, somebody would eat it. But I'm just, because they eat everything over there. But I'm just, I can't think off the top of, you know, the Great Ape Cookbook. I just can't, cocoa on rice. You know, I just can't really, it's not coming into my mind. But, you know, we'll chew on that. I'm sure we'll find something on the show. Another piece of feedback. Dear Sean, don't worry, I'm not going to beat you anymore with the Avatar thing. About the EMP diesel thing from last show. Remember they were talking about that? They said that they have this new device that's essentially like electromagnetic pulse that they can shoot that disables
to take out cars. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I said that they should do that with diesels because if you drive a diesel, it's immune to that stuff. Which, you know, that's inviting it because I've got truckers who listen to the show. And of course,
they'll correct you if you stray a bit, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, these people know they're diesel. So about the EMP diesel thing from last show, you might want to change that to buy an old diesel. Sadly, the same assholes that mandated cars have 100 different widgets attached to them that are now mandated this on diesels as well. Although, the truth, they've had a lot of electronics on them for a while yet. Anyway, back starting in 07, it really came to a head. So stick with the old stuff if you can get it. Of course, you can do the same thing and go get an old gasoline fuel card, but with diesel, it gives you a lot more flexibility. Like running straight off cooking oil or kerosene, it'll run the former as long as your engine is hot. Which also, to be said, the other reason why I like diesel is there's no shelf life on it. You can store diesel for years and years and years. Mm. Whereas gasoline, you're pretty much pooch. There's a shelf life on that. He goes on to say here, kind of an interesting story here. As I said, modern diesels has a lot of electronics now. Well, a few years ago, it was mandated that all diesel engines, commercial and consumer, were only able to run off a new ultra-low sulfur diesel they were planning on rolling out in 2007. They've used the ultra-low in Europe and maybe Canada for a while, but it's new down here. What was done was all the manufacturers changed the sensors around in such a way that running the old low-sulfur diesel would burn the sensors in short order. And so for the 2007 model year and all new trucks, pickups, and heavy trucks alike were equipped with these new, more sensitive engines. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, there's a slight problem with the plan, as the Freds forgot to ensure that the oil companies would actually have ultra-low sulfur diesel to sell. There's about a six-month time frame there where you had to be extremely careful where you bought your diesel from. And a lot of people wound up shelling out big fistfuls of cash to various expensive sensor system replaced in their truck. And if you think your little Hondas are expensive, have a $1,000 used radiator. How about a $500 used steering gearbox? Or maybe a $200 piece of recapped tires? Makes me glad I'm not the one who has to buy the parts I wear out. And that's, of course, from the rocket rig driving fat ninja out there in the desert. So yeah, definitely, I don't really have a lot of diesel knowledge. So apparently, just to bring you up to speed, if you do get a diesel, make sure you get an old one so that you don't, get bent over the barrel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean, I'll take this opportunity to tell you what an awesome show you have. I donate monthly and hoping to kick it up soon. You know, it's amazing when the people who donate monthly, it's very touching.
Yes.
Because he doesn't have to write in and tell me that. So that's why I put it on the show.
No.
And the folks who donate monthly, like, they really are the people who are supporting us. They are a lot more.
Yes.
Some of them. And it's funny, too. There's all kinds of people who get all pissed off and send in all kinds of stuff. But there's lots of people who donate monthly that I never, ever hear from. And they're just like, we love you. We love you guys.
Yeah, they just send it in. I've never heard their name before, ever. Never heard anything about them except they just send it in. Anonymous people who just participate in that way.
Yeah. Anyway, but being around the same age, I really enjoy all the D&D Shadowrun and other references. And the current stuff always blows my mind. On that note, I'll close by doing a Recmedia of William Gibson's Twitter feed at the @ Great Dismal, DISMAL. Really good Cyberpunk Now content, which I didn't know he was on Twitter, so that's kind of neat. So, if you happen to be sort of into that, that's a good way to go. And finally, you know, you got mentioned in some feedback here. Dear Sean, in brackets, and Sim. So it's
I'm in brackets. Oh, okay.
You got brackets, right? Because, you know.
Yeah.
There's been a
side
lot.
Note, just to mention you know, me offhand.
They love you. They love you. Well, for a while there, it was all Sim, and my poor little ego.
If they love me, my name would be first.
Yeah, that's really. Right. Dear Sim and Sean.
They don't.
Wait
I'm
for
just,
it
I'm
now.
Relegated to the brackets, okay.
Wait for it now. Now I'm going to get a deluge of email from people being like, no, Sim was right, you're a bigot, blah! So we'll be able to milk this Avatar fighting thing for a while yet, don't you worry. There have been a lot of stories lately regarding people being arrested for erotic comics cartoons depicting characters that are minors. This was all related to the thought crime stuff we've been talking about on the show. And he goes on to say, this has to do with the 2003 Protect Act, which, as you described on the show, makes imagery of minors in sexual acts illegal, regardless of whether or not they are, in fact, underage, or even exist in the case of drawings. What angers me most is that while this law appears at first to show that there will be no tolerance for people who have fantasies of pedophilia, well, fantasies are... okay, I gotta get through this letter. We have fantasies of pedophilia. I think it's a slap in the face to the actual victims of sexual abuse. The intent may be, say, to punish... The intent may be to say that punishment for fictional child porn will be no less severe than the actual crime. It also says to victims that the real crimes against them are no more important than some obscene drawing. If I were a father with a son or daughter that was raped and or had photos of them spread across the web, I'd want that motherfucker dip balls first into the nest of fire ants 10 times more than some goofus doodled on some Simpsons porn. Love the show. Keep up the good fight from the Gray Ghost. So definitely some strong emotions there regarding the thought crime stuff. And have you been running across any more of this kind of junk on in the Pyroproddy broadcast? Have you seen a surge?
Not lately for that kind of stuff. I mean, that was pretty recent, a couple weeks ago. Thankfully, not a surge of that stuff. So hopefully people will come to their senses and see it as thought crimes and not anything else like actual abuse of people.
Wow, that hope springs eternal in the mind of
Yeah,
Sumerian.
We can hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, I, of course, have abandoned all hope, and I've just simply come to the realization that, you know, the planet's basically doomed, and where do I pick up my mecha so that me and mine can survive on the corpse of the current society? So that's... you know, that's that. And to help us with this, you know, this particular story, the lead-in story is the real jewel. Usually I save the jewels till the end of the show, but this one just sets the tone. And a few people sent this one in. The first one to do it was KJ, so thank you very much. But in neuromarketing news, I didn't make that up. I did not make that term up. Neuromarketing is a new term.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that's going to make your head just come off, fly around the room, and make you start, you know, eating meat again. Sam, I swear to God. Brian Levin is going to tell me what commercials I like without asking my opinion. He doesn't have to ask. With the biometric toolkit developed by his company, he says that my own subconscious impulses will give it away. My heart waves. The sweatiness of my hands, how I'm sitting in my seat, will all give me away. While he set up the eye tracker in Wired's office, I changed to a vest and t-shirt he gave me. I attached 2 sticky electrodes attached to my breastbone and 1 beneath my ribcage on the left side of my body. The t-shirt had special holes cut in it so the wires could poke through the electrodes and plug into the vest. A small monitor was strapped onto my finger. Levine plugged all these wires, now running from my body, into a fanny pack with a little PDA in it, which transmitted wirelessly to a laptop. After a little tinkering, my body's basic data appeared on the screen in an endlessly scrolling set of scribbly lines. Then I sat down in front of a computer screen and watched a series of video clips of cute little babies, Dexter, and a video of myself and random people dancing at a wedding. The whole time, I hoped Levine could somehow read my undiagnosed pathology from the lines on the screen or figure out exactly the sort of advertising that would press my buy button. Fears shared by neuroethicists. The premise of Levine's company, Interscope, is that running this data through algorithms can tell advertisers which commercials work and which don't. Which commercials work. What do you mean they work? They're supposed to advertise, right? So if they're relaying information, ta-da! It works.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's like saying, this is my
book. Not about information.
No, no, clearly not. No, this is a designed weapon. Can it deliver the payload?
It's about evoking emotion. It's about getting a rise out of you so that you remember it. And when you walk by the store shelves and you see the name yet again in your face, something inside you stirs and draws you closer to it so that you pick it up and plunk down your dollars for it.
You know, I don't know, but maybe it's because they're used to a different kind of person. But you would think that most of these advertising agencies, the last thing they would want to provoke from me is an emotional response. You know, that's probably not your best, your length of lifespan sort of thing to try to provoke. Like, hey, let's go do that.
It is. It's anger, even if it's annoyance, all they have to do is get their name into your head. That's all they have to do. So it's singled out of all the other ketchups on the shelf. So you reach for that ketchup because you remember something about it. Maybe a trusted friend told you something about it, or just the television.
We really look at the unconscious measures compared to the conscious measures, said Interscope founder Carl Marcy, director of the social neuroscience for the psychotherapy research program at Massachusetts General Hospital. I love how how is these advertising bastards are going in there doing human experimentation? We know that if 5 to 25% of the brain processing is dedicated to conscious processing, the rest is unconscious. About half of that is emotional processing. We're talking about a massive amount of the brain's processing. Some companies in the new neuromarketing field, there it is, bang, is some companies in the new neuromarketing field have tried to peer directly into the brain and look for clues to how consumers work. How do they work? They mustn't have choice. No choice. They must buy. When we press the red button, that means buy. They use the fMRI and EEG brain scans and other measures of what's happening into your gray matter. The field remains in its infancy, and talk about something that needs to be smothered in its crib, that would be this particular field. And though, according to the 2008 Journal of Consumer Behavior Review, which is really brutal that there's a Journal of Consumer Behavior Review.
Wow.
Like, wow. It's hard to know how well data captured inside of an fMRI machine at a laboratory relates to how your brain would function at a sports bar, for example. Because, of course, people who go to sports bars have functioning brains, don't you know? I think they're making a big leap of logic there.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. You know, like, let's go watch UFC. You know, I swear
beer.
To God. I think that's what I'm going to do with you, Sam. We're going to get a photo of you and me in a sports bar watching UFC. You know, that would be, and everyone would be like, Photoshop, you know, they'd be like, this is
it
totally
would be disgust on our face for many reasons. I think that would be the perfect, like, photo shoot setting for us, with guns to our heads and beers in our other hands.
Yeah, with some large bully-esque rugby team. Some of my high school experience. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Really, really good. Now, staying within the neural link, obviously this is psychotic, but the funny thing is here, this is exactly what I was talking about in patrolling years ago. It's not just after
God,
now.
God, yeah.
Like, ding!
Protecting your eyes, your ears, sanitizing your clothing, protecting yourself from the media influence. Exactly what you're talking
yellow
about.
Yellow lenses, man. Headphones, yellow lenses. You know, get maybe a couple of IR LEDs built into the ball cap so you can try to stave it off. But we've got to start looking at some kind of psychological firewall that we can put in place. Otherwise, you know, all these bricks. It's my brain. I should be able to protect it. You know?
It messes with their neuromarketing that they've done by putting this yellow shield in front of your eyes so it trips off the colors that they picked out that are soothing to you. No longer soothing.
Yeah,
everything else is soothing. The actual real world is still soothing, but all the advertisers turn into consume and eat and breed instead of the normal stuff.
Yeah, eat, fuck, breed. Yeah, that's pretty much the whole
so you can
plan
see it
there.
For what it actually is.
Well, you know, keeping with the brain thing, Sam, let's talk about brain booster news. Now, this is funny. You're not going to believe this. Remember how, I believe in patrolling, we were talking about vitamin stacks and ginkgo and various vitamins to, you know, help you through your day. Well, apparently, the Department of Defense is on side with Sean. A multi-million in brain booster news. a multi-million dollar omega-3 market could open up within 2 to 3 years if the U.S. Department of Defense orders its troops to take the EPA and DHA omega-3 fatty acids. The department, this is the Army, is considering either supplementing or fortifying the rations of all active service personnel in order to enhance stress resilience and general wellness, leading to improved military performance to cut hospital bills and speed recoveries from traumatic brain injuries. Which is, this is very, very interesting. This is one of the most, well, it shows that it's not all because there's a lot of people who think vitamins are all crap. Right, that it's just a big, it's a big scam, but apparently, you know, the DOD doesn't think so. That's not that that's any great screaming endorsement, as future stories will relate. But you know, it is interesting here. A spokesman for the department told the website here that the discussions on many levels about the addition of omega-3, especially in combat feeding and clinical setting, but there are just
combat
discussions.
Feeding.
That, pardon me, combat. Well,
I just like the word it. Combat feeding.
Combat feeding, man. That's a great word. God, the Americans are good
it
with their
is.
Words. You know,
they are.
Well, we need to discuss...
The military is good with their words. As we've seen in so many articles. It's just hilarious words they come up with.
Combat feeding. I mean, because honestly, if you've ever seen those guys eat, they're not eating. Okay? I'm not eating.
Oh, no.
After the show, I'm going to go combat feed. I'll be like, ah, come here, Nacho. Nah! Dun-la-la-la-la-la-dun-dun. You know, and you're dipping it, you know, Kirk, you know, seriously, you're going to be fighting with the nom nom combat feeding. I love it. I love it. God, they got to have guys working around the clock on this shit, really, you know, between the mission creep and the combat feeding. That's what happens when sharks come at you. Sharks don't eat you. They combat feed your ass.
That's right. Well, he got combat fed to the sharks.
He got combat fed to the sharks. I didn't get run over. I got combat fed to a bus. Yeah, that's what happened there. You know,
kind of like friendly fire, but you know, in a different kind of way. You know,
that's right.
It's when an animal eats you while you're in the battlefield. He got combat fed.
Absolutely. Now, we all know that the country that brought us the Boy Scouts. Okay, England, Robert Magnus Powell's territory. Knives, the Swiss Army knife over there, is illegal now in the UK. You can't get them.
That's right.
So no...
Dangerous.
No knives for you. But it can't happen here, right? Can't happen here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The outbacks of Canada? No.
No, but apparently... Thanks to Moog for sending this one in here. He knew that, like, there's so many people. I could just see them when they find these stories. They're like, oh, my God, Sean's going to lose his shit when he sees this. This is going to be great. combating a proliferation of knife crimes would be easier if the province drafts legislation that edges Saskatchewan closer to a provincial knife ban, says Saskatoon Police Chief Clive Wayhill. So in Saskatchewan, which is Saskatchewan, for those of us who are inside of Canada or outside of Canada, it's Saskatchewan. Inside of Canada, we call it Saskatchewan, and it's where the Japanese...
The flat middle part.
It is. It was an ocean before. Really, to be fair, it should be an ocean again.
That's very true, yeah.
It's in ancient Japanese literature, you'll find that the universe is comprised of earth, wind, fire, and void. And water. And all the void on Earth comes from Saskatchewan. That's like, you know, the big magnetic part that makes all the compass needles point north and there's declination and stuff. Yes, anything that has nothing present there, like the never-ending story, the great nothing, that exists in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan. But apparently, in the nothing, it's so bleak there that they don't want people in Saskatchewan carrying knives. In a meeting with the Provincial Justice Ministry officials about new legislation, Whale argued for a provision that would allow police to seize a knife or a sword or a machete, even if it hasn't been used in a crime and there's no discernible intention to commit an offense. People can walk around Spadia, which is a crescent, carrying a machete, and an officer can't do anything about it unless someone walks up and threatens someone, says Wayhill. Well, thanks very much for clarifying that. I didn't actually know that, you know, I've suspected that, but it's true. I've heard that if you mind you, try strapping your samurai sword on within the next 2 weeks in Vancouver and going for a walk downtown. You tell
you get,
me
what
happens.
You get a bit of attention.
Yeah, yeah, you know, with the whole
Olympic. You get the hoses turned on you.
Yeah, at the very least. At the very least. I would bank much more highly on the riding the lightning option, I think would be quite prevalent there. Police want the power to seize that weapon before a crime, such as a threat or an assault, is committed. I like that. A threat, such as a threat, that's a crime. Or an assault is committed.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people use knives legitimately, police would decide when a knife is a threat. So what about my sword, though? Like, I mean, if it's a bastard sword, right? Like, if it's designed to cut people in half, am I not? Is that not a legitimate use? I mean, I would argue that it's a legitimate use for me to cut people in half with a sword. Clearly, a lot of research has gone into this. It's a function over form thing. That's what the sword is for. But anyway, I know it's controversial, he says. But the flip side is more weapons on the streets. Well,
because
no,
criminals, just, you know, they obey the law. I mean, as soon as this knife ban goes into effect, all the criminals are going to come in, you know, place their knives on the counter of the police office and go, oh, I'm sorry about this,
oh,
and
man.
I know it's a crime now. And yeah, I know they're going to be disappointed. And all the, you know, normal people would now have to wrap up their kitchen knives and store it in a locked container when they buy them from the store.
Yeah, I love this line here. I'm going to read the background. It goes, I know it's controversial, but the flip side is more weapons on the street, says Wayhill. If you see three known gang members walking down the street brandishing machetes, that would pique an officer's interest, end quote. Like, dude, you mean to tell me that you got, like, three hardcore MS-13 guys walking around with machetes going down the street? The cop's like, damn, I can't do nothing about it. You with that joint! Run him out of town. We'll drag him behind the car. But excuse me there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's gang members all over the place with machetes, and all the cops are going, I wish we had some sort of law that we could take these guys down.
If only there was a way that somehow we could stop these roving bands of ninjas, you know? Especially in Saskatchewan. From January to October 2009, Saskatoon police documented 299 incidents involving knives, such as assaults, attempted murders, and robberies. Regina and police and Prince Albert law enforcement reported 238 and 75 incidents in the same period, respectively. But those were only the reported incidents, cautioned Wayhill. I can even hazard a guess of what hasn't been reported. It's not the knife attacks that we know about, Sim. It's all the thousands of knife attacks that get by us that we don't even know happen. You know?
That's right.
That's the problem here.
I don't understand. So, okay, they know about these assaults and attempted murders and robberies with knives.
Right.
So banning the knives will solve all those assaults and attempted murders and robberies. Because they won't be using knives anymore to do that. I mean, all the knives will be gone. No, everybody has to cut their food with, like, their fork now because, you know, no more knives are allowed in the whole province.
Well, you can't carry it, right? So, you know, that's the whole point. But, you know,
that won't deter them. There's still knives around.
Well,
there's knives in their kitchen.
Well,
I don't understand it.
Not with that attitude. You know, really. Sam,
I know. I'm not playing ball. I'm not on the team. I'm not.
We know these weapons are increasingly used for intimidation. No, they're used for cutting. You know, really. Police say that blade weapons from kitchen knives. There it is. There's the word.
Oh,
boom! From kitchen knives to swords and machetes are becoming more common on the streets. These guys are able to eat steak now. Violence and gang activity are a fact of life for some people carrying a blade. For some people, and carrying a blade, more accessible than a gun and easier to conceal, gives a person a sense of safety, said Wayhill. Well, for God's sake, we don't want a sense of safety. You know, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We wouldn't want people walking around feeling safe. You know,
citizen, get back in your bubble, citizen.
You know, we wouldn't want you feeling safe, never stray, you know, and this is actually a fantastic story, because if you're in Canada and you happen to be of the, you know, you're in a relationship and, you know, you've pooled, because really it's very difficult to survive today. You really do have to be in a relationship and team up in order just to stay ahead of the slaving market that is our economy. But if you've happened to have been so lucky and your significant other might have a concern with your collection of knives because, you know, you have 50 of them and they're all in a glass case and you know there's those four knives that you can't make up your mind about. It's become a bit of a joke in my house because I'm like, you know, but the Caledonian Edge is really, really long and it has the same weaknesses as the Hatamoto. Even though they're both well built, there's no sub hilt on it. And the Spectre, I'm not going to go for, but simply because I don't agree with the blade design. So I've kind of resolved myself to the Talwar. So that's going to be where I'm at. So currently in the lead is the Talwar. And all I needed to push me over the edge was the fact that I can now be like, no, they're banning them, right? So you can start stockpiling knives, right? Because clearly, I have to get it, honey. Because if I don't, they're going to ban them soon, you know. But
yeah, got to get them grandfathered in, or you won't ever be able to buy a knife again.
Yeah, it'll be
you'll
horrible.
You'll have to be a certified kitchen chef to buy a knife in a store now.
We could get those like those really pathetic like safety knives, you know, like, or those plastic box cutters that don't allow more than a quarter inch. Like, not even a quarter, it's like 5 millimeters of blade. I'm insulted by that thing. People are like, do you want to use that? And I think it's bad. I mean, downtown, you know, you're downtown Vancouver. It's pretty much like British California. Yeah. You got all these dudes who've never actually been someplace where there's not, you know, sculpted, landscaping going on. They've never actually seen a wild animal. A raccoon is like a terrifying thing to these people. So, you know, I can understand if I pop out a blade and open a box, they're going to be like, oh my God, you've got a knife. But that's, you know, out there as wogs, that's an opportunity. If you're in a closed setting where no one's around and you open a box with a knife and the other person suddenly is afraid, they're like, you have a knife. The first thing you should do is give it to them. There you go. Doesn't it feel nice? Isn't that nice? You like that? Feel that elevated sense of power there? Yeah, go ahead. Close it. Open it a few times. Go on. Do it. Come on. Just a little bit. Yeah. Here's how you open it with one hand. Clack. Yeah, isn't that cool? Do it again. Clack. Feels good, huh? Yeah? Why don't we go look at some knives? You know, really. I mean, because honestly, you know, you like Boy Scouts. I mean, why not? You know, everybody, just try it for a little. I'll loan you my knife for a bit, man. Just try it out. You know, it's cool. You know, you want to be cool, right? Come on. We'll just go do this, you know.
First hit's free.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and if you were thinking about buying knives for people as gifts, now is the time. You know, really.
That's right.
Really. But this is insane. It's, well, I mean, I really should find a different adjective because I'm using that adjective on every goddamn story that I'm putting on the show now. It should
insane.
Be called newsreel.
Yes, it is.
All that crazy shit that's going on that you don't believe. You know? Oh, my God. I'm really sure.
You never thought you'd see the day where they ban knives in Canada or even propose to ban
knives
in Canada.
It's retarded.
Did you?
It is the
Did
dumbest
you?
Thing no. ever. It is the stupidest. I mean, I'm not even a fan of gun
control.
I don't agree with gun control.
What are we going to skin our baby seals with, really?
What? I don't have a baby seal.
What are we going to skin the baby seals?
Skinning. What are we going to use to skin baby seals? Good question. I mean, you want to talk about being inhumane? I wouldn't want to beat the skin off of a baby seal with a bat. That's just vulgar.
That's
just vulgar,
That's
vulgar, vulgar.
Know.
You know? In thought crime news. Yes. Yes. It's now, this one here, I wasn't really sure
More
where to put
crime.
This one. This was sent in by Renegade Rabbit. And I wasn't real certain where this belonged. So I wound up putting it into thought crime news. You tell me. A case.
Okay.
This is a good one for you, Sim. You're going to chew on this one. A case currently before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California could establish that some faiths are indeed more equal than others, and that minority faiths are not entitled to First Amendment protection. So, what does that mean? Patrick McCollum. In a previous post, I wrote about Patrick McCollum in a suit to gain equal standing for pagan chaplains in the California prison system. So this means that people who want to, you know, be Wiccan you know, worship Earth and nature, which, I know that you're not into that stuff, Sim, but if we're looking at, like, crazy mud hut ideas, the pagan crazy mud hut ideas are older than all the other ones put together. Okay, so, like, the whole Druidic thing, that goes back, pagan stuff goes into, like, shamanism and totemism and like first peoples and shit like that. Like it's
that's like the first step towards religion. It's like this rock has a soul, this tree has a soul,
exactly.
This life is in everything. The earth is all in
can't
coalescence
have people
with everything
believing
else.
In harmony and stuff. That's just bad. Can't have that. No, nothing else got a soul. Let's cut up some seals. Currently, only chaplains who represent one of five faiths, Catholic, Protestant, which, I mean, what?
You can combine those two a little bit together.
They're both ex-gen, you know what I mean? They're Catholics and Protestants, whatever. The Jewish guys, which is funny because, like, Jesus was a Jew, right? Nobody likes to say that, but it's true.
That's right.
Apparently the Son of God was a Jew, so...
I mean, did he worship himself? Nope, then he's not Christian.
Then he wasn't a Christian, he was a Jewish guy. But anyway, and people were like, that was the time frame, Sean. Well, either way, he's still Jewish. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's true. you know, I don't care his time frame or not, Jesus was a Jew. Sorry.
sorry to burst your bubble.
Sorry to pop it, man. You're still screwed. You're not one of the tribes, you're going to hell. Sorry. You're pretty much done there, you know, Goya. Muslims are in there too, of course. And Native Americans. Okay, so Native Americans are okay. Pagans are not.
What?
Because if you talk to the Catholics and the Protestants, they'll tell you straight out that the Native Americans are pagan. I know this because they slaughtered them by the millions when they came over here because they were pagan. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. Anyway, those five can have staff positions and full access that affords them in the system. And a new amicus brief was filed this week by a group called the Wall Builders Incorporated. Now, that you've heard of the Promise Keepers? How about a group called the Wall Builders? Now, these...
Ooh, I went that to doesn't their, sound too friendly.
Yeah, that's the Wall Builders.
We're building a wall. Stay out.
Which is, you know, they decided to go with that with rather than the Racist Fucks Incorporated, which is, you know, the Wall Builders. You know. Absolutely. You know, I bet you the First Nations people would have been really into a group called the Wall Builders. And if they weren't, they should have been. But anyway, the Wall Builders brief, I went to their website and had a poke around, and it looks to me like a whole bunch of KKK guys masquerading as First Amendment guys. So it's just like, yeah, we're all about the history of America. And of course, right there on the page, they've got American history and they have like Black American history, which I always think that's really interesting. It's like, okay, the first thing that you got to do is you got to get over the whole black-white thing down in the States. Okay, because nobody gives a shit if you're black or you're white. Really, at the end of the day, you're just either poor
also
or not. You know, I mean, that's it.
They need to quit pretending that, you know, America started in 1492. There were people here before that as well.
Yes. Which, you know, and they tried really, really hard to kill them. And you know, Yanks get really pissed off when you point out that they killed more Indians than the Nazis ever killed Jews. They get mad. You know, they get mad when you make that, when you got, like... When Custer got his ass mopped, okay, he had that coming, okay? Like, when Custer got his ass kicked, he so deserved that. He so deserved that. Holy crap. But anyway, the Wall Builder brief calls on the court to state that First Amendment itself does not cover paganism or really anything but Christianity or some other monotheistic faiths. According to a statement from Patrick McCullen, I originally sued on behalf of myself and pagan inmates as their chaplain, but a year later, several inmates joined the lawsuit. Together, we claimed that it's unconstitutional for the state to deny pagan inmates their religious rights, their religious materials, and their religious services. Which, to be fair, okay, if you're going to have a rule and you're going to have, like, one mud hut, you know, faith, you may as well have all of it, right? Like, that's...
Exactly.
You can't pick and choose your mud huts here, you know.
Why kowtow to one crazy? Kowtow to them all.
Pretty much, like, because then you make them legitimate, right? They're either allowed to believe what they
want. That's right.
They're either allowed to believe what they want or they're not, okay? During the course of the case, the CDCR, California Department of Corrections, and other related defendants and the assistant attorney general who represents them have argued before the court that pagans are not deserving of equal civil rights that are are provided adherents of the preferred faiths. And one of their first arguments to the court, go ahead.
A preferred faiths.
Oh, it's just full of it here. The defendant said that a certain traditional faiths are, check this one out, they're first tier faiths. And those were faiths meant to have equal rights under the protection of the United States Constitution. But that all the other faiths, for example, Hindus, pagans, Buddhists, Sikhs, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Jains, whoever the fuck Jains are. I've never heard of Jains. They must be the guys who read all the fighting manuals. Are second-tier faiths deserving of lesser rights and therefore are not meant to have the same equal rights and protections on the United States Constitution as the first-tier faiths. Like, that's right out of, like, some weird Incan blood right sort of thing. You know, like, your God, our God is greater than your God. That's exactly what that is. Now,
oh, yeah.
In an amicus brief filed in the Ninth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in support of the CDCR and other defendants, an organization called the Wall Builders Incorporated, which is represented by the National Legal Foundation, has argued that Christianity is the only religion that should be protected under the Constitution, or at the very most, other monotheistic religions might also be included. They also argue that the term religion only applies to Christianity or monotheistic faiths. Anyone else, including pagans, are not really a religion for the purpose of constitutional protections. So, I mean, silver lining?
It's either all or nothing. All or nothing.
Well,
you can't have it both ways. I mean, they're excluding Indian religions, which constitute one quarter of the Earth's population.
Very clearly.
Which is, you know, a minor oversight on their behalf.
Yeah. And now the upswing to this, even though it's horrible, and it you know, is a very tempting thing where I'm like, this is a terrible plan, it's horrible. Psst, psst, hey, Sean, this means we can ban Scientology. Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's
and a
tempting.
Lot and a lot of other ones as well.
Yeah,
because they're considered a religion in the U.S.
Oh, I know, but it's such
tax
a good
breaks
way to blow
and all
a big
that kind of good stuff.
That. You know, it'd be oh,
I know.
You know, there's lots of people who live their entire lives as Christians and live very, very happy that way and die with a smile on their face. Okay.
Well, and, I mean, all the Scientologists need is a couple tin cans and a little dial, and they're good to go, aren't they? I mean,
well,
they don't really need that much in jail.
Well, they don't need a hell of a lot.
To audit.
Well, and inmates are not real big in Scientology because, you know, they...
I mean, you don't get time off for good behavior if you're a Scientologist, but if you go straight to Jesus, you get you get some good time off.
Hey, you know, I don't know. It's definitely psycho. As much as I hate it, I've got to kind of agree here that you either do it for one, you either believe in freedom of religion for all, or it's freedom of religion
yes.
for none. You know, I mean,
yeah.
If I want to start my own religion, which I've been so tempted to do so many times, but I'm not...
The Church of Sean. The first Church of Sean.
Oh, no. I'd never do anything so vulgar. It would be much more, you know, darker outer gods and everything. You know, it'd be great.
Yes.
You know, really... Yeah. You know, really...
I bet it'd be fun.
Put the meat in it. You know, well, I mean, look at Scabbed Wings of Abaddon. Could you imagine if I put that and focused all that on some sort of religious thing? I mean, dude, that's a religion waiting to happen.
Don't want to end up there, do you? So
I got
be good,
review.
Everyone.
I found out I had another review on Scabbed. I went to Amazon,
oh,
and there's
really?
Another book review up there. I got another 5-star review.
Excellent.
I was, like, really happy. Yeah. Somebody said some nice
Woo.
Things. Yeah, so it's... Phoenix was the last person to review it, and they gave me nice stars.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, look
awesome.
At me.
Awesome.
I'm such a child. You know, I'll go on there, and I'll, like, read all my... Look at... I love me. Look at me. You know, I've got my blue
read
ribbon
the love
my
page.
Photo. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible, really. I'm just, you know... Totally bad. In Techno Magi News. Now, this title was a hard one. I didn't know where to put this story either. Now, we're talking about, well,
okay.
If the Department of Defense believes in it, it's got to be pretty good, right? The Army backed it. It's got to be okay.
Oh, yeah.
The director of a British company that supplies bomb detectors to Iraq has been arrested on fraud charges, and the export of devices has been banned. Pretty serious stuff. British government officials confirmed Saturday an Iraqi officer used a scanner made in Britain to inspect a car for bombs at a check pad in Baghdad. Their export is banned. Iraqi officials...
I've heard of this.
...reacted with fury into the news, noting a series of horrific bombings in the last 6 months despite the widespread use of bomb detectors at hundreds of checkpoints in the capital. This company not only caused grave and massive losses of funds, but they've caused grave and massive losses of the lives of innocent Iraqi civilians. Like, not funny, man. Okay? Like, you're selling mm-hmm. fake bomb detectors. And people are dying. Okay? Children and shit. But by the hundreds and thousands from attacks that we thought we were immune to because we have this advice. It's like selling fake body armor. Okay? Like, bad idea.
Yes.
This is what Ammar Tuma, member of the Iraqi Parliament's Security and Defense Committee, But the Ministry of the Interior has not withdrawn the device from duty. And police officers still continue to use these things. Okay?
Oh, my God.
The Iraqi officials said they would begin an investigation as to why their government paid at least $85 million to the British company ATSC Limited for at least 800 of the bomb detectors called the ADE-651s. The British embassy offered to cooperate with any Iraqi government investigation. The New York Times first reported the official doubts about the device in November, citing the American military officials and technical experts who said the ADE-651 was useless despite the widespread reliance on it in Iraq. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? The AD-651 is a handheld wand with no batteries or internal electronic components. Let me read that again. The ADE-651 is a handheld wand with no batteries and or internal electronic components, ostensibly powered by the static electricity of the user who needs to walk in place to charge it. I want to be the guy who is teaching that course to the cop. Okay, so you just kind of march in place here, and all the cops are looking at each other like, are you fucking serious? The only moving part is what looks like a radio antenna on a swivel, which swings to point towards the presence of weapons or explosives. If that sounds familiar, they're dowsing rods. That's what they sold. They sold dowsing rods for $85 million for 800 dowsing rods.
Yeah, I saw a video on this. It was absolutely amazing. They had a booklet full of cards that all they contained were those little circular circuits that if you go through one of those scanners and steal from something from a store, it sets off the alarm.
Right.
That's all that was on these cards, and they were all identical. And you just plugged these cards into the device, and it had this little swinging antenna. I couldn't believe that this didn't go through some sort of testing. They just believed them, and they gave them $85 million.
Like, dude, we need to start making bomb stuff. The force became aware of the existence of a piece of equipment, which there's been many concerns of, and the interest of public safety launched its investigation, police spokeswoman said. The suspect's identity was widely reported in the British press as Jim McCormick, managing director of the ATSC Limited, which operates out of a converted dairy in rural Somerset in England. So this farmer starts building, you know, dowsing rods and handing them out. Contacted by telephone, Mr. McCormick refused to comment on the charges of the case against him, but he insists the ATSC would remain in business. Our company is still fully operational. A statement issued by the British Department of Business, Innovation and Skills said it was banning the export of the AD-651 and similar devices to Iraq and Afghanistan. Tests have shown the technology used in the AD-651 and similar devices is not suitable for bomb detection. It's not suitable for making grilled cheese sandwiches. It's not suitable for Jack and shit and Jack left town. All right, there's nothing going on here with the AD-651. There's guys walking around with coat hangers, and you're telling me that's...
Yep.
You got to think that somebody somewhere up the line, were they so cynical that they just sort of went, oh, well, it's bullshit, but whatever, we'll run it. You mean nobody had enough foresight to go, hang on, this is fucked. Now, wait a minute. Dowsing rods, are you serious? We're going to be like, we're sending these things to war zones to try to, because it'll detect weapons and bombs. Well, because they're similar,
right? It detects anything. It detects anything. I had this booklet of 20 things it could detect. You just plug the card in. It could detect anything.
It'll detect dogs, trees, tribble, antimatter,
anything.
My Uncle Heshy, Jews, Muslims.
Oh, yeah.
You name it, they can find it with the ADS-651. It's absolutely insane. But apparently Buddy's into it for $80 million.
Crazy. So they let cars and people through, and they said, yep, you're clean. And you know what? They go on to bomb some people.
Yeah, they
it's
go drive
wonderful.
To the schoolyard and, you know, begin,
yep.
commence the hilarity. I marvel at this story because when it was said to me, I'm like, this didn't actually happen. You know, this didn't actually come to pass, but it did. And I wonder, when you're thinking about how we live in such a technologically advanced day and age, how a snake oil salesman like this, some guy selling fire water to the Ministry of Defense. Like, come on, these people are supposed to be like, this is nuts. This is like, this is crazy. I can't believe it. It defies description. Other than to say I'm thoroughly disgusted, and I hope they nail this guy's head to the floor. But more than that, I think they should nail this, whoever was involved in the purchasing power of these devices, heads to the floor.
Yeah.
That's just wacko.
Like a 10 minutes of testing of this device could reveal that it doesn't work at all.
I could watch this thing being used, and I'd be like, how does this work? How does this work exactly? Because there's no electron. Well, it uses static electricity. Really? Because I know a little something about that. I've got, like, high school level science. And, you know, if you're relying on static electricity, my environment depends largely on whether or not I'm going to generate that. So,
yep.
You know, and you want me to march in place to generate static electricity? Are you fucking serious? Like, dude, you must have had one hell of a brochure. Whoever that guy's marketing guy is, you want to hire him. Because that's just,
oh God, yeah.
You know. So let's try to kick it up a notch. Let's try to do something positive with the Cyberpunk kit. This is kind of neat. I always like materials. Materials are good. Material science is always good. But there's a device that came out called, a material that's come out called, well, I call it foam metal. Spongy metal. Sounds like a bit of an oxymoron. But it's actually a real material that is capable of absorbing large impacts without damage. Hello. Metal foams have been around for some time. But new research by Dr. Afanza Rabai of North Carolina State University has revealed the strongest metal foam ever. It can compress up to 80% of its original size under loading and still retain its original shape. The applications of this type of material are too numerous to fathom. Well, one of the most anticipated uses for the spongy metal is automobiles that lessen the impact of crashes and protect the driver and passengers. I mean, think about it. This thing is like, this is amazing. Metal foam is exactly what you might think, a cellular structure made from metal with tiny pockets of space inside, like an aero bar made of steel. What makes Rabbi's metal foam better than others is that she's been able to make the tiny pockets of space more uniform. And that apparently is what gives it its strength as well as its elasticity needed in order to compress as much as it does without deformation. Many tests are being performed in a laboratory to determine its strength. But so far, Rabai says that the spongy material has a much higher strength-to-density ratio than any metal foam that has ever been reported. Calculations also predict that in car accidents, when two pieces of her composite metal foam are inserted behind the bumper of a car traveling at 28 miles per hour, the impact would feel the same to the passenger as an impact traveling at 5 miles per hour. So it's like,
whoa.
Shock absorber. Yeah, like, wow, bam, you know what I mean? That's okay. Applications for this amazing metal are numerous and life-changing. Naturally, this metal foam could be integrated into bodies of cars, minimizing the impact from crashes, but it could also be used for body armor. There it is. Thanks very much.
Oh, yeah.
Or in artificial limbs. It's even foreseeable that metal foam could be used in buildings to help absorb shocks from earthquakes.
Oh, yeah, so, especially if it reforms back to its original shape when it's deformed. It's perfect for that kind of stuff. Anything that moves and that needs to be back to what it was before.
Yeah, I mean, the mind reels. The mind really reels. It's nice that we have some decent materials. So we have some good news, you know, the promise of maybe Mecha. Maybe that's something that they could use for Mecha because the strain, right? You know, a lot of hip actuators, a lot of stuff going on there, a lot of repetitive motion.
Yep.
Why not use it to use the exoskeleton of the Mecha as its living shock absorber, so to speak? You know, why not add to the armor? Sounds good
as its flesh, as outside flesh of it.
Exactly. Now today's daily hack is this is another one of those ones where I was trying to figure out where this one fit. The daily hacks could have been in the Recomedia section. But I decided to put this one in these inside of the Daily Hack section. The first one was sent in by Goofy, and it's called the LibriVox Project. Now, this is pretty cool. Goofy wrote me, "Hey, here's a project I think WOGS might be interested in getting involved with. They're called the LibriVox Project. They're trying to get public domain books out on the internet in audiobook form. The books are recorded by volunteers and are freely available for download." So you go there.
That's awesome.
It is. Yeah, I know. I'm like, that's wicked. So
that's
now you
so
go.
So sexy.
It is. It's like, hey, check it out. I've got an MP3 player. I can learn. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's pretty hot. That's pretty hot. So definitely, mm-hmm. you want to go check that out. If you'd like to get involved with something that's pretty high merit, that's definitely something to be involved with. And we should make sure that, you know, Bloodstained winds up on there if we could. I mean, maybe Rant Media should put some of our work in there, because that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the requirements. It does say public domain, and it's not public domain per se, but they may allow Creative Commons stuff in there. That would be very cool.
It would be, you know, and I think it's neat.
Yeah.
So what the hell? Whew. And your other daily hack is a book, which is free to download. You can download and check it out. It's sent in by a guy, the Ruminator, which I think I named him. But this is how to build underground houses for $50 and up. The $50 underground house book teaches you how to build the lowest house, most sunshine-filled, best ventilated, and driest underground houses of all. It teaches how to incorporate greenhouses, root cellars, fallout shelters into an underground home. It covers both hillside and flatland designs. It explains how to solve drainage problems with dependable gravity rather than expensive, failure-prone building materials. It also details how to pass otherwise deal with building codes. The $50 and up underground house book is the only book to explain in detail author Mike Olver's revolutionary post-shoring polyethylene building method, which cuts building materials to the absolute minimum. But the $50 and up underground house book does much more than cut your building material cost by 90%. So it's cheap and it's effective. It is widely recognized as the book which offers the reader the greatest possibilities for light, air, and views in an underground home. Well, I don't know how that works, but anyway, where most owner designers and even professional architects are stuck with the disastrous first thought concept, the design which greatly limits views, sunshine, and airflow, which usually causes staggering drainage problems. O'Hare offers basic design with an uphill patio, which solves problems and more. He explains the weaknesses of other three designs, concepts flavored by conventional architects, and so on and so forth. So it's a very interesting book. It's free. You can check it out. And why not? Hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who are homeless. If you can...
Yeah.
And I remember that story about the guy who was living in a hole. You know what I mean? Like, why not? If you were going to go run away to another country and build yourself a base, why not put that sucker underground? You know?
Start building your underground evil lair.
Hey, you know, people have done it for hundreds of thousands of years, and why stop now? Eureka Media this week is another... I managed to get full pool. I got everything in there. From the BBC. It's called News Swipe. And it's sent in by Epoch923. Do you know about this?
Yes, I do. Very funny. I haven't watched the series yet, but I watched a segment. Brilliant.
Really? So it's got
I got a hold of a bunch of them, so I'm going to take a look at them and watch them.
Nice. It talks about the mainly British media's methods for causing fear and spin on stories. It's a three-part series called News Swipe. So there's a link to it there. You'll be able to check it out. Very, very cool. Because after all, that's the reason why Rant Media exists, is because we're trying to give you a bit of real information so that not everything you're getting put into your head is by someone else. So that, you know, we have our own... Like, I can't say that I'm totally altruistic over here. I suppose that we've been operating on a loss forever, and we do ask for donations. And you know... We try to be the best we can. We don't like being, you know, like public broadcasting where they get like the fat chick and the skinny guy to beat the hell out of you every 20 minutes to try to get some money. But it's true. We do rely on donations. So if you can donate, please do so. But if you can't, you can distribute the show and give it to people who you think might enjoy the show. You know, introduce the show to people who probably wouldn't. There's a lot of folks out there that are hungry for new media. You got to put something on the iPod. You can only be, you know, listening to so much. There's how much free media really is there? You know, it'd be nice to be able to have some stuff and just claim that, you know, you're not a criminal anymore. You know, because it's only going to be a matter of time before they're starting to check your MP3 players in the airports and stuff like that. Make sure you
have the
proper licensing stamps. And if you don't think that's around the corner, think again, man.
It's coming. Now you can fill your iPod with public domain stuff read out by, you know, everyday people.
Yeah. So why not do that? And if you want to stay current so you're not just listening to public domain stuff, we've put Newsreel out there for you. So if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the donate tab on the dark on anywhere on the Rant Media website, or you can send an envelope to box 95089 37 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And I definitely want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. Now, if you like the music in the background, you definitely want to check out some Psytrance, because Psytrance, I really enjoy that music. It's, you know, there's many different flavors of it, but, you know, always explore foreign music. I enjoy foreign music a lot. There's a lot you can learn from it. And I'm going to fade out now with one of my more favored Psytrance tracks. I'm not too sure which one yet, but it'll be probably one from my running CDs. And Sam, have you got any news on the Rant Media front? You know what I mean?
By the time you hear this, we would have had our meetup for the month. So check us next month for the Rant Meetup, first Friday of every month. Listen to Pirate Party Radio if you like the sound of my voice.
Yes, Pirate Party Radio. And how do they get that? If they want to check out Pirate Party Radio for all the latest in what's happening with our intellectual property rights and what's happening with our freedoms, how do they get to that?
You can go to pirateparty.com. And just that simple, and you can subscribe to iTunes or download it or stream it from the site and all that kind of good stuff.
So, and you are the actual official radio station of the Pirate Party, are you not?
Of the Pirate Party of Canada and the U.S.
Wow, so you are
I'm semi-official.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, except for Mexico, but I'm working on it, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, you know, what the hell? I think that's pretty slick. Have you got anything else, Sim?
Nope. I'll see all you guys next week.
All righty. And for those of you that are in the show, that'll be there. I guess we'll see you tomorrow night. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
You can walk my path. You can wear my shoes. Learn to talk like me. Be an angel too. But maybe you ain't never gonna feel this way. You ain't never gonna know me. But I know you. Singing in our things can only get better. Can only get better. See it through, that means me, and I mean you too. So teach me how to think. Can only get better. Can only get think it over me. You know, I know that things can only get to deal with this disease.
I'll look at things now.